This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Radio Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sunset of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael Dean and Angela Keaton?
Oh yeah, I feel it. Is Angela Keaton around? Are you there? Are you there?
I am here.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, this is Angela Keaton's first voyage as a Freedom Fiends co-host. She's been on the show before, but that was at Pork Fest. And I think we had animals from the 15. Field wandering in there. 15 co-hosts, yeah. And I think you have to be on twice to be co-host. So this is your, that was the audition. Now you're on as a co-host. And it's a good thing. Angela Keaton is the director of antiwar.com, one of the people that we advertise for free because they are worth pushing and pimping. And do you want to tell us a little bit about that, about how you got involved with that, what it means?
Yeah. Oh, dear God, no.
Okay. All right.
Because now I'm on the show, and God knows what I'll say that shouldn't be reflective of the organization I work at.
We shouldn't even
have to bear the burden of what I say and think.
Yeah, we won't even.
Flies out of my mouth.
We'll just say you're someone we met when Nathan was outside the studio smoking crack.
Okay.
Not that you smoke crack. You were trying to talk him out of smoking crack. That was the thing. So
it depends on the circumstance.
Yeah. All right. Nathan? Oh, is Nathan chiming in? See, the audience can't hear the board op when they chime in. It's kind of like the voice of God whispering in our ear. And he's telling me he's going to take us off air right now. But nobody can hear that. So, Dan, how is Scotland and what's up with you?
Scotland is fine. It's dark and a bit cold. But then again, Scotland's usually dark and a bit cold. So, pretty much no change.
You on the moors?
I'm not far away from a moor, to be honest.
What is a moor?
I'm not quite there.
What's a moor?
I don't know, man.
That's a moor.
I don't actually know what constitutes a moor, to be honest. I know there's one close by to me, but it seems just like a big load of scary fields.
Big load of scary fields.
I'm not actually sure what constitutes a moor, to be honest. What the criteria is to be called a moor.
Wow. Well, we will find out. We'll get our crackhead research team on that. And what's on your mind? What are you talking about tonight? You got some show notes. Let's talk about the UN. Talk about the UN, man. What's wrong with them? Show me on the doll where the UN touched you.
What's right with the UN? No, it's another thing. I mean, Richard Branson for I don't know how long has been talking about decriminalizing, drugs sort of on a worldwide basis. And, I agree with decriminalizing drugs makes sense, but he claimed that the UN were poised to announce that they were going to endorse a policy of drug decriminalization internationally. But the UN have since come out and said that that's not the case and he's jumping the gun or whatever. So
the UN are against. Hey, Angela, this is Teaching Hospital. I'm going to do it on air. I'm hearing a little bit of echo coming from your Fiend Phone headphones, so that means either you got to turn down or you got to put your headphones tighter on your head, and or your hair is making a gap where it's getting from your headphones and your mic. All right, so the UN actually has a policy and has for many years that drugs should be illegal, which is really bizarre because their whole idea is supposed to be to protect people, but they are propping up this war on drugs that's doing far more to harm anybody. And if you're a conservative out there, you should be against the UN. Most conservatives are. They don't want, going back to the Birchers in the 50s, conservatives, real conservatives, have always not wanted world governance. So basically, you should be against everything that the UN's against. So if you're a real conservative, you should be in favor of legalizing all drugs because the UN is in favor of keeping them all illegal. So tell me more, Dan. I'm intrigued and wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Well, the thing is, if we're talking about drug decriminalization, Richard Branson's got the right idea. I don't say
buy your own
often.
Island and make your own laws.
Why not? He's got the money to do it.
He has his own island.
I've heard that, actually. He used to actually, I believe he started by, I might be wrong on this, but I believe he started like selling records door to door.
Wow.
And that's sort of how he got his start, and now he's minted.
Well, I know he ran Virgin Records, which I think the record that put them on the map was the Tubular Bells soundtrack, which was a pretty cool album. Did you ever have that album?
Oh, yeah. Bells. Actually, my brother has it. Yeah.
It's like one guy playing everything. It's a really cool record. And then of course, he also signed the Sex Pistols, which was pretty neat.
I didn't.
They ran Virgin.
Hmm. This is becoming the Richard Branson appreciation hour.
Well, you know, I don't know. Billionaires that don't look like they have a lot of blood on their hands, I'm always a fan.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what got him into the decriminalization thing, but like, I mean, some people might be listening to this and think that, you know, what they're talking about, decriminalizing all drugs, that's a terrible idea. But when you think about it, it's the only thing that makes sense because, I mean, if you just look at some of the basic arguments, I mean, how do you stop drug cartels and things? Well, there's one way. You know, if drugs are decriminalized also, I mean, it means you're going to have safer drugs as well. You're not going to have drugs cut with all sorts of, you know, whatever that they are cut with, you know, they'll be safer. You smash the criminal element out of it straight away. I mean, just there, that's just two basic reasons off the top of my head why it would make sense.
I mean, deal with
the problem.
And I kind of want to like phrase this and point this toward, you know, the talk radio listener who's not a hippie and probably not a libertarian. But, you know, if you actually believe in like conservative economic values, okay, you think there should be a government, but you think it should be small. You like the Constitution, which drafts of the Constitution were actually written on hemp, and the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp. So this country was based on pot, basically. Like, literally, your founding words that you worship were written on squished up pot plants. But so basically, I want to put it in terms that they could understand, like speak their language kind of thing. Because, you know, I was one of them for a minute. And, you know, when it comes down to like basic economic policies, like, okay, if you think hard drugs are the worst thing in the world, I could still make a valid argument of why they should be legal. And, you know, when you see the damage that drugs do, most of the damage is actually from the war on drugs. Like, I was watching some Drugs Inc. show tonight, you know, about the drug war, like where it originates in South America, where they're, you know, they've got people down there like destroying the crops and the jungle laboratories where they're like, you know, dumping battery acid into a river. And they're making that point of like, and we're doing great work here destroying this lab because these labs pour battery acid into the river. And I'm like, If cocaine were legal, it would be processed in laboratories that would not be dumping battery acid in a river. You know, it'd be made by pharmaceutical companies that you know, have environmental standards, whether by the government or just by trade association. You know, people don't want to do business with a company that dumps battery acid in a river. What do you think, Angela?
There's nothing to think because I've already ruined a lot of my mind with drugs.
Well, you know, the human body, the human brain are an amazing thing. So I trust that with time, you'll get better.
I could only hope that I will get better. And there's going to come a time when Richard Branson won't seem to me like a cross between a cartoon and a soap opera style multi-gazillionaire. That's what his whole style is, with the hair, the clothes, the life.
Did you ever see The Simpsons where there was Homer gets a job for some company, and it turns out that the guy is like an evil billionaire Bond villain? Ever seen that one? And he's kind of he's kind of based on Richard Branson. It's kind of funny. I like it. But
he's got a cartoon element going here.
Yeah. Well, jump in if you want. I don't want to leave you out. Dan and I are pretty passionate about this and jumping all over each other. You know, if you want to throw some skunks in here or something, go ahead. No.
Conservatives should stay out of one's body. You know,
they
mind
should.
Their own darn business. That's the basic principle of that, of kind of normal conservatism. Mind your own business.
There's no photographs of you doing drugs. So how do we know you ever did drugs, Angela?
You don't know. You don't actually know. I mean, if it's even, you know, if it's even me. I mean, I could, you know, I mean, who the heck knows who's here at the office answering things and picking, you know, playing with Fiend Phone.
You sound
which
like
is
you.
A superior sound quality.
Oh, thank you. I've met you, and you sound like the person I met, but you could just be some master of disguise, you know, janitor that comes in there, and you could be some, like, 65-year-old man from Poughkeepsie coming in there at night to pretend to be Angela Keaton.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad that you randomly picked Poughkeepsie, too.
Why? I did randomly. Are you from there?
No, I'm from New York, but it, you know, I mean, I know Poughkeepsie, and there's no one from there who wants, no one wants to be from there. Yeah, or is from there.
They'd rather, you know, better a janitor in Los Angeles than a professor in Poughkeepsie, right? Isn't that the saying?
Exactly. Oh, good yeah. God, yes. Yeah. And watch, someone in Poughkeepsie is going to
call
horrible
in
things.
Be mad. Yeah, that's why we don't take calls. But no, I think the randomly picking Poughkeepsie was, I think it was from Mad Magazine from when I was a kid. I think that was like, you know, will it play in Peoria? It was kind of Mad Magazine's Peoria or something. Poughkeepsie. It's like a place you'd never really go, and nobody ever goes to, so you can pretend it's real, even though it is.
See this thing as well, just if we're talking about this thing about the UN and that. I mean, if he's saying that they would endorse a decriminalization policy, would it really matter? Because who really actually listens to the UN in any serious way? It never stopped them from invading Iraq, what the UN said, you know?
They have, well, but the UN sort of has an army. They sort of have NATO. They can sort of direct NATO, can't they?
But would that even... What would they do? Would they have trips to enforce decriminalization?
Angela would know a lot more about this. Maybe we should really ask this as a serious question when we come back from the break, because we got about a minute left here. But, you know, the UN has peacekeeper troops. They send people with rifles. Actually, they generally send people with sidearms for two reasons. One, the actual reason is it makes them look less threatening than if they're carrying rifles. But the ostensive reason is that those people like to rape the locals, and it's a lot easier to rape the locals with a sidearm than if you're carrying a rifle. Who's laughing? It's true, man. Isn't it? We'll be back after this trip to the market. Yeah. We'll have some deep intergalactic international political analysis by Angela Keaton about the United Nations role in governance and rape.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com. FeenPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Yeah. Blinding you with needles of truth in your frontal cortex, pithing you like a frog. So, Angela, you're going to tell us about the United Nations and their actual role in the world. Channel Scott.
Oh, I wasn't. I was being forced into telling you about the UN. Oh, everything I'm going to say is going to sound glib on this. The things you have to kind of slice and dice apart. But
good.
I would just say that the United States has the most influence and has the most power. So ultimately, the UN isn't going to stray too far away from whatever serves the empire. It's not, you know, it's in and of itself, it can cause a lot of damage, but it's not really world government.
Hmm.
And I don't know why people are that over like a little restitution and other problem. If a wonderful organization like the UN, you should be grateful. Be grateful for the humanitarian aid, and you know, hope that they don't do something.
That they don't what?
Do something weird to you.
I hope they don't do something weird to my kids. Although they want to raise your kids, I think.
I mean, why can't you just learn to love the government?
Wow. Tell us more. Tell us more, Angela.
Why are you afraid of being governed?
I don't know. It started as when I was a small child. I just never really liked authority and was always told that it was a bad thing in school until I heard the term anti-authoritarian applied to John Lennon. And I was like, oh, well, he's cool. I guess it's cool. I'll be one of those. Or I'll still be keeping being one of those. And I know you're being sarcastic. And I know that you don't love the government.
I love governance. I love having the structures, the infrastructure especially of the state. It allows for very efficient distribution of goods and services. It allows for a great deal of fairness in our dealings and private relationships. It creates equality.
You believe amongst the all opposite people. Of everything you're saying. I know you, and I know that's true.
It's, you know, and it's a beautiful thing to see people come together in one cause and be one.
I think I'm gonna be
one
sick.
Giant thing with one mind.
I have to throw up in my mouth a little bit.
And now watch, your body is throwing out what you don't need and keeping in the good, and that good is the government.
I think you've overdosed on Kaluna vulgaris. You know what that is? That's a type of heather, which is a flower, which lives in Scotland on the moors, and there's something called a Heather Moreland. I think Heather Moreland would be a good name for this alter ego of yours. Heather Moreland, tell us why you love the government. Because I just can't believe that Angela Keaton would say these things.
Don't you love music? You wouldn't have music if it weren't for organized societies. Without organized societies, you'd have no art.
You wouldn't have had a record industry without organized crime. The mafia was involved in record distribution in the 60s. I know that.
Why do you have to hate everything that's good?
I know. You know, sometimes I don't know why. I was having trouble finding people for this show tonight, and then you showed up, and I was like, yeah, that'll be weird. It'll be cool. You never know what you get. But before that, I was like, every couple of weeks when I'm having trouble with particular hosts or getting a hold of hosts even or booking the show of like the labor of love that is The Fiends, of like breaking even to work 30 to 60 hours a week, this thing going for years and years and years. Sometimes I'm just like, I want to give up. And today I was like, I didn't even want to give up in frustration. I wanted to give up because it seemed like it made sense. I was kind of like, haven't we covered every possible topic of why government is bad? Haven't we covered them all in 800 episodes? Haven't we covered them all? And then I'm like, yeah, but the point is keeping doing it. So there's new people tuning in the radio all the time, you know? And maybe we can have Heather Moreland be the liberal that the state is that we have on to attract those people who need it most.
And I think I'm the right person to play that part. No one understands love of the state better than I do.
Do you love war, Heather?
Sometimes it's necessary.
Man.
How are we going to free women and make their lives better if we don't go to these countries and liberate them from their lives?
Isn't the life of the average woman and person in general in the Middle East better? Wasn't it better under Saddam Hussein than it is now?
Well, I'm sure anything would have been better than having the U.S. Army and military come in and wipe out your country.
The truth comes out. Well. Okay, Heather Moreland. Thank you for those baffling opinions. We'll be back with more after this trip to the market. When you're going to tell us about the care package I sent you.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
This episode, do people in Second Life have a first life? Do you guys? I keep getting, like, I must have clicked on the wrong thing, because I keep getting these, Twitter keeps wanting me to add people that I don't know, and I look at the people, and they're not people, they're like avatars from Second Life, which is this kind of slow video game where people build environments and cities and friendships and I don't know. What do you think, Angela?
And there's enough dysfunctionality in their first lives usually, but then they have to spread it onto the computer. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Like, we have a friend, young Nick, Nick Hazelton, is the youngest fiend. He's 17 years old. He's been on here since he was 15, one of our co-hosts. And he is a farmer. He has a farm with some yak and some pigs. And, like, whenever I post anything about him, like, people think I'm talking about the game Farmville, which is where you, like, build fake farms. And I'm like, no, like, you can go buy meat from this guy. He raises animals and slaughters them. And people are like, what's that? I don't know what that is. Give me a cheeseburger. But so we're going to talk a little bit more about the war on drugs and why you should be against it, even if you're a conservative. Then we're going to talk about Glenn Campbell. Lest you think that we are inveterate pleasure-seeking hippies. Well, actually, Glenn Campbell had a long history of cocaine abuse himself, but he's kind of square. He's kind of a square hero, and we like him, and there's a great new documentary about him and about dealing with his fight with Alzheimer's, which is, whew, man, I want to talk about that a bit, about that illness. So tell me a little bit more about the war on drugs, Dan. I was going to say Angela, but I don't know. We'll see. Oh, they just sent me an image. Okay, Scott just sent me the image for the show tonight. He made this. It's the UN logo with the world replaced by a pot leaf. I like it. I approve of this image, and we'll have a better name for it than Second Life, First Life. We'll just we'll call it Show Me on the Doll Where the UN Touched You, and we'll use that image. All right, Dan, go ahead. War on drugs.
Well, the thing is, I mean, like, prohibition clearly works because I know no one who's ever taken drugs. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's just, prohibition's pretty ludicrous because I know people have made this argument, but it is kind of true as well. I mean, you can't even keep drugs out of prisons, and they're supposed to be the most locked down places that there are in society, technically. So, like, you know, this whole idea that, like, oh, we'll just make it illegal and no one will touch them is ludicrous. I mean, you can buy drugs anywhere, you know, it's not like it's hard to get a hold of them. You must be able to get them somewhere.
Not that I know of. Not that I've looked, but, and I actually have a joke that's kind of serious. I believe that Wyoming is the most red state. It's the most conservative state voter-wise. I think Wyoming is going to be the last state to legalize marijuana, and I think if it's legalized in every state federally, I think Wyoming is actually going to try to use state rights to keep it illegal. I can see that. Do you have a thing like states' rights in Scotland, or is like every county and prefecture have the same laws?
Well, it's kind of different now. I mean, there's city councils, but they don't have that much power. But there is now, there's like a Scottish government, there's a Welsh assembly, a Northern Ireland assembly. So it's kind of devolved to these sort of regional governments now. But not everything's devolved. It's different levels of power depending on, you know, because the Welsh have an assembly, which is like less than a parliament, and the Scottish have a parliament, which is a bit more, but still all the big stuff like, you know, tax and all that is still devolved down to England. Well, not devolved, but it's still run from the Westminster government in England. So it's kind of that way. I mean, and talking about the
is that where the dog show is? Westminster Dog Show. I like the Westminster Dog Show.
Well, the thing talking about, like, why I think decriminalization is better is because I've taken a lot of trips to Amsterdam, and it's not a legalization model like you have in, you know, the US there. It is more of a decriminalization. I mean, it's like, it's weird. It's like a sort of gray, marijuana is like a sort of gray area there. You know, it's like there is certain rules about, you know, cafes can't be so close to a school, and if they're so many feet from a school, they need to open later and things. But in terms of, like, it's not taxed, like, in the same way it is in the US, and there's this sort of agreement, as far as I understand it, between, like, the police and the coffee shop owners that they won't really ask who their supplier is. You know, they'll just sort of leave it at that. And I think, you know, I've not been to any of the states in America where it's been legalized, but from being to Amsterdam, I think that's there's problems with it, but I think that's a better model than, you know, taxing and legalizing.
Yeah, so the model is, like, it's extra legal rather than legal. It's like outside the law.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, like, yeah, like a gray area sort of thing.
What say you, Angela?
On Amsterdam, or just the drug war generally, or why I keep hitting my face with the mic?
Why do you keep hitting your face with the mic?
I'm still getting used to this. This is new.
Well, the next version of Fiendphone is going to have a shock collar built in, and you won't be able to log on without putting it around your wrist.
Probably would be extremely helpful. I live in Los Angeles, and California has had semi. It's in a wonderful, amazing place to live in LA, and for the past 18 years.
I lived in Echo Park, though. I lived in the hood.
Yes, and
you live in the West Side, don't you?
Yeah, and you're probably. I live in West Hollywood, which is an independent city. Well. Yeah, it does have some strange laws.
You have to be gay. You can't register at the DMV in West Hollywood without performing oral sex on someone of the same sex.
I believe in localism, independence, individualism, and the way we do things here is the way we do things here, and the way people do things in Poughkeepsie is the way they do them in Poughkeepsie, and I don't try to judge, I just try to love.
Cool. Hubert Selby Jr. lived in West Hollywood last few years before he died. That's where I interviewed him for the movie Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. Have you seen that one, Angela?
No.
I'll send you a link.
No, I have not. Is it good? Oh, that'd be great.
It's good. Well, it's good, and it's narrated by Robert Downey Jr., and I directed it, and you can watch it free on YouTube. I'll send you a link. People should also go see my movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which you can go to gunsandweed.com and watch for free. And that makes a good argument for a lot of things, of, like, even if you hate drugs, why you should be against the war on drugs. Another good reason, if you like guns, then we make this very clear in the movie. If you like guns, you should realize that the war on drugs fuels the war on guns. And when, if you're cheering because they're kicking in some hippie's door down the street because he's smoking a little weed, and, you know, they've got 10 guys in body armor and military dress kicking in his door, you got to realize those guys are basically training to kick in your door for your guns, so you should be against it. And, you know, the war on drugs allows them to do things that violate your constitutional rights, look in your car, you know, without really having proper reasons to, and use things like drug-sniffing dogs. They have gun-sniffing dogs now. It's just all a trickle-down effect to take away whatever they want to take. And, you know, God forbid if Bernie Sanders or one of them Democrats that hates guns and loves pot gets their hands on the keys to the kingdom, they are going to immediately retrofit the mission statement of all those goons kicking in the doors for drugs to kick in the doors for guns. So you should be against it. That's what I say. I'm not saying this because I want to get high. I have been clean and sober for 21 years. Dan doesn't take drugs. I don't know what Heather does. Heather would have to tell you herself, or Angela. I don't think she does. Any comments?
She's very spiritual.
There you go. Yep. She's mainlining God.
Heather's spiritual, and she loves everyone.
So, Dan, what say you, Dan?
Yes. I don't take drugs. I am drugs. Thank you, Salvador Dali.
Yeah, that's a good line.
But it's good. It makes sense what you're saying, because like freedom means just that. It doesn't mean freedom for the things you like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that doesn't work. Freedom has to extend all across the board. It has to be for even things you don't like. And from what I see, that's the problem with some conservatives that I talk to. It's, you know, I want freedom for these things because I like these things, but not your thing. And that just makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess I want to talk about Glen Campbell now. Glen Campbell, country singer, extraordinaire, star, kind of OG, original gangster of popular country music. He's about, God, how old is he? 79, something like that, I think. Yep, he's 79. He sang Rhinestone Cowboy, if you know that song. And he actually was a session musician playing with the band The Wrecking Crew. Which, did you ever see that documentary, either of you?
No.
I would recommend looking up the Wrecking Crew documentary on Netflix. It's a great documentary. And it's called The Wrecking Crew, Inside History of Rock and Roll's Best Kept Secret. I mean, these people played on an incredible number of records and were not credited. Like, they played on the Beach Boys record. They played on all sorts of stuff. Selected recordings. Okay, let's see. Herb Alpert, The Righteous Brothers, Sonny and Cher, T-Bones, Frank Sinatra, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Neil Diamond, Partridge Family, Art Garfunkel, Barbra Streisand, Captain and Tennille, Paul Simon. I mean, they played on, like, half the hit records in the late 60s. And, Glen Campbell was actually one of them, and he's also one of the few that actually like rose out of it to be a star in his own right. But he is beloved, and there's a movie just came out about him called Glen Campbell, I'll Be Me, and it's about his dealing with Alzheimer's disease. Which I don't know if if people listening have anybody in their family with Alzheimer's, they immediately can relate to this. I have a family member now who's going through it, and I have a good friend who's going through something very similar that leads to the same results. It's something called Lewy body dementia that leads to something like Alzheimer's. And that person isn't that far gone yet, as far as I can see. Like, we can still have long conversations, but the family member is kind of fading in and out and like almost not there. And Glen Campbell has this to the point where like, and it's a weird documentary because it's like his fourth trophy wife takes him on tour, and some people would say like he should not have been on tour or he should not have been on camera. Like, some of it's embarrassing of him, but it's also kind of this weird strength, you know. Like, he goes and like plays concerts in some of it and can remember most of the words and most of the guitar playing, and then like the next day can't remember he played a show the day before, that kind of thing. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Talk about Glen Campbell. New documentary about Glen Campbell called I'll Be Me. It's on Netflix. You can watch it free. And, yeah, it does deal with his Alzheimer's. Like, you know, he's doing a tour with it, which some would say, man, you shouldn't let him do that. Because he wanted to do it, but he also, like, wasn't really in shape to do it. You know, he could, and Alzheimer's is weird. Like, he could remember how to play the guitar. He could remember how to play the songs most of the time. He could sing them with a teleprompter, with the words. But then sometimes he would, like, he'd read the teleprompter and not realize he shouldn't. He'd be like, he'd sing a line, and he'd say, like, all right, Glenn, play a long guitar solo. Okay, I will. You know, because that was on the teleprompter. And then they canceled some tours, some dates at the end because he was getting really, you know, it wasn't going to end well. So, Dan, you have some experience with relatives or friends with that, don't you?
I do, yeah. I've had relatives who've had that kind of illness. And it's a really strange one because sometimes it can be quite heartbreaking, you know, when people that you've known all your life and stuff, family members, and they don't know who you are and things. But then there's the flip side of it, you know, once you get a bit used to it, it can sometimes be a little funny.
And, you know, there's people probably saying, oh, how can you make a joke about that? But I would say that probably anybody who's dealt with it a lot probably has to some extent, to, like, you know, feel human about it. Give me an example.
Oh, well, I remember a grandparent of mine. He lived in this area of Glasgow. Not the best area of Glasgow, to say the very least. Probably close to one of the worst. And he was from Ireland, and he kept talking about... He thought I was someone that I didn't even heard of, someone he hadn't seen since, like, the 50s. And he kept talking about... Kept talking about going to the lake, right? And I mean, there was a massive puddle outside his house and stuff, but, like, he was right in the middle of the city, and it was all this weird stuff about going to the lake, and I'm going down to the bog, and I'll be down there for a few hours and things like that. And you're like, what bog? It was really bizarre, man. But, like, it was funny how it put him back to an earlier life. I mean, he hadn't lived in Ireland since about, say, like, the 40s or something like that. So it was weird how, for some reason, it had flipped them right back to, like, being in Ireland. And everyone that was around, you thought was someone from those days. And we could kind of make out who some of the people that he thought were, but some of them we had just no idea. And, like, sometimes you'd even just be like, you'd just kid on you were that person because it seemed to make him happy a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes that could be a bit funny, but sometimes then there was still, it could still be, it's like you said, it's that kind of thing when you're dealing with something like that. It's that whole gallows humor thing, in a way. You have to find something funny about it because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. You know what I mean?
I think the reason it intrigues me is because I think it may be happening to me. Over the past year, it's hard to even, like, you couldn't even tell. Like, I don't even know if any medical exam could tell at this point. And there's things that it could have been. It could have been that I was, before I started going to a doctor and I was having really bad health problems, I had a low oxygen count, and they had to put me on oxygen. And I have, you know, tanks of oxygen in my home, and I still have to be on them sometimes. But lack of oxygen can make your brain kind of stupid, to where, like, you know, I go into a room and I go, what did I come in here for? Which is funny because Glenn Campbell actually says that and makes a joke about it in this movie. He says, yeah, I go into the kitchen and I say, what did I come in here for? And I can't remember. So I stopped going in the kitchen. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of like what people who are stoned or drunk do. And I've been stoned or drunk in 21 years, and it's getting worse. And then after I got off the oxygen, it's gotten worse too, but it could be the side effects of some of the asthma meds I'm on, because, you know, every medicine from Big Pharma has like 40 side effects, ranging from, you know, anal leakage to death. And in there, and some of them in that long list, is also, you know, lack of memory problems. So we'll see. I could just be getting old, but that's another reason I want to get as much, like, of me on tape. As they say, on record, on MB3, out in the world, while I can still put a sentence together. And that's why I appreciate you guys doing The Fiends, helping make it great. Angela and Dan, we'll be back for hour two of The Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market and to the news, which will horrify you. But don't be worried. Come back and we'll patch your sweaty brain and make it better. Right, Angela?
Yes.
Cool. Worms. Fiend bone. Angela invented the term fiend bone. You know? Even if you say nothing else tonight.
You're not supposed to say that on the air.
No, fiend bone's fine. Man. Even Randy England says fiend bone.
Oh, it is.
And he's a Catholic. It's okay.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms. We'll be right back.
broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Blue Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Feast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT Nay Government License, which allows reuse by anyone. Anyone at all, except for governments. And you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org.
Angela, tell us about the heartbreak of government.
The heartbreak of government? You mean, no. What is great about government?
How's government like anal leakage?
It creates experiences we can all share that allows us to have empathy with each other. The government is empathy. It's light. It's
I thought love. Heather left the building. I thought Heather Moreland had gone, and Angela was coming back.
She went back. No. The government does destroy lives, but you know, people usually have to have their brains rewired before they totally understand that, because they'll put themselves in so much psychological denial or victim blame to avoid facing how horrible the government is, the very government that when they're in public schools they learn about, you know, how much to love the emperor, how much to love the history of the U.S., which is based on things that are nothing but truth and goodness and light. No one was killed in the creation of America, because there's no one here in the U.S. when,
well, no one with a soul, the settlers
came.
It's
a beautiful promised land that was just waiting here for the settlers to discover.
This manifest destiny that went ever westward and ended at your house in West Hollywood.
Right. They decided to go no farther than this neighborhood.
From you to the ocean, don't go there, man. It's scary.
No.
But that's pretty accurate, and it's good hearing you speak truth to power and not hiding behind Heather Moreland for a minute. Although we do like
her. But I know her.
I know. We do like her, too.
I mean, I know those kind of people. I mean, it's based on, you know, experiences. And I say mostly women, and it isn't to be misogynist, but there's a type of woman who seems to be more susceptible to collectivist logic when it's good for family or good
well there's
for,
actually a
you know that seems like it's good for everyone.
There's a theory that the decline of America was when women got the vote, and saying that sounds incredibly wrong, but the part of it that might have some truth in it, I don't even like the, I mean, I think America went wrong the minute they put anything on paper, but you know, a lot of laws are driven by, we will protect your children, think of the children, you know, which basically comes down to the nuclear family isn't doing its job, protecting children well enough. So they put in all these kind of, and a lot of it's driven by fear too. They will make stuff up. They will just make stuff up to get votes and to get power. And no politician gives anyone anything. All they do is take away some of your rights and then give back a little bit of them in exchange for your vote. And they take your money and your rights and give them back a little bit of time in exchange for your vote. But you never get it. You never get them all back. That's how it is. Yep.
Government.
Government. It's not good. It's anything you could say about anal leakage, you could say about government. That's what I got to say.
It's messy. It destroys clothing.
It destroys property. In general.
Yes. You know, no one thinks around anal leakage.
There you go. And this is getting a little zesty for radio. But
yes.
We already said the thing. We'll stop saying the thing. We'll just keep comparing how it's like government. It most affects the very old and the very young. Big pharma,
terribly uncomfortable.
But you can get big pharma drugs and pay a lot of money that will either cause it or cure it. You know, one of the big pharma drugs that I'm on, I told you guys this during the break, this hamster medication I'm trying to get on, it's supposed to be like a miracle cure for my problems. I finally got it authorized, and there's like two doses of it at the pharmacy for me to pick up. And they called me today, and they have a special team. Like, this drug is so expensive, they had to put me through to the team for this type of drugs. And And they told me all about it, and they're like, okay, and then you can pick it up today, and the copay will be $1,000. I'm like, what? I don't have that kind of money. And I'm thinking, how much is that drug if the copay for two doses is $1,000? But there is financial aid available, which, you know, I'm going to apply for, which is weird. I've been doing a lot of dealing with the pharmaceutical industrial complex and the insurance industrial complex since I got sick. And anybody who... there are people who've never been through this or never been through this with a family member who are like probably A, you know, calling me a sellout because I have health insurance. Like, oh, you should fight Obama. And I'm like, if I didn't have health insurance, I'd be dead right now or would have lost my house for like 9 months worth of medical care. And I'm not saying thanks, Obama, because it's like this really has nothing to do with the market. It's a long story. But secondly, half the people I know are saying, oh, you should get off that and just take colloidal uranium enemas, or you should just smoke medical marijuana. Like people giving me, like, non-doctors giving me, like, 40 different things. Now, just because the drug industrial complex is driven by profit doesn't mean doctors are all bad, and it doesn't mean you know more than them. People think they know more than doctors. It really disgusts me. It's infuriating. I've had people who know nothing about my medical history who are like, oh, you have severe asthma? You need to go on an all beet diet. It'll fix you. And I'm like, shut up, man. I mean, I've been like blocking people on social networks for trying to be helpful to the point where like they get helpful and then they get mad when I say, well, I'm going to try to keep doing what I'm doing because it's kind of working. But, you know, I'll consider the all beet colloidal uranium enemas if this doesn't work. But, yeah, man, I get sick of people. I get sick of people. Boy, that sounds like threatening. I'm not threatening at all. I'm just,
Everyone's a doctor on the internet.
Yeah. A doctor or a dog?
A doctor. Both.
Yeah, there's a meme. Everyone's a dog. No one knows you're a dog on the internet. And no one knows you're not a doctor on the internet. But, yeah, man.
Government. That's the thing. It's like anything else. I mean, you watch any of these. I mean, like you watch any of these shows or anything, and it's like it could be like a baking show or a dancing show, and all of a sudden everyone's an expert on that particular subject because they've watched a reality TV show on it. I mean, there's this awful dancing show on the UK called Strictly Come Dancing, and it's these celebrities dance with someone, and it's just awful, right? You don't need to know any more about it. But I was sitting with some people the other night, and they're sitting there and they've never done any kind of ballroom dancing in their life, and they're sitting there going, ah, that foxtrot wasn't so good, he missed a few steps there. And you're like, how do you know that? Because you've watched like four series of it instead of actually doing anything.
Yeah, and another thing that TV does with that is everyone's a scientist now because of, you know, shows like what's the one where they debunk things?
Mythbusters?
Yeah, it was a great show, but it's not really science. It's kind of pop science. And, you know, there's a lot of shows like How the Universe Began. And we're going to segue into, you know, the fact that the Earth is going to have a close call with an asteroid in a week here, pretty soon here. But pop science is not science. And I'm amazed how many people who are like atheists who worship science don't really understand science, don't understand scientific method, are able to be tricked by misuse and cherry picking with science, and moreover, when science doesn't work, get really mad. Like there was this thing recently where a bunch of climate change scientists, which first of all, there shouldn't be such a thing. There should be scientists who have studied climate change and decided with scientific method one way or another. But you know, these are scientists who it's their job to prove an agenda about that there is human-caused climate change, which is not a scientific... That's not how science works. You don't come with the conclusion. You know, you don't start with that. But there was a list of them who wrote a document and signed a petition to the White House basically saying you should throw people in prison who deny climate change is human-caused. Like, they're going back to the Dark Ages with their science. Like, they're saying, oh, you know, you can't prove the... If people say the Earth is round, we don't like that. We think they should be thrown into it, you know, into the dungeon somewhere, into the London Tower.
Well, see, that's the problem with that kind of thing as well. I mean, like, it's one of those things where, like, you're, like, forced to believe, like, the sort of the current mainstream view. And they've actually started using the phrase climate change deniers. And it's got that kind of thing. Earth. It almost sounds a bit like Holocaust deniers. Yeah, do you know
yes,
what I mean? Like,
yes.
As if it's, like, the same thing. You know, it has that kind of connotation to it.
And I don't deny the possibility that climate change is human caused. I don't know enough about it to say either way, which, you know, you could say is trying to be an overly safe opinion on it. But first of all, my opinion doesn't matter. And I had this opinion before they were threatening to throw people in cages and put them on the Iron Maiden for crimes against science. But, you know, another thing I hate about misuse of science is what I call people who are experts. Well, there's two things I really hate. One is people who are experts in things that are wrong. And that's my saying for, like, oh, you know, anybody with, most people with a PhD in economics, because they've studied the kind of economics that's the broken windows cause, you know, the Keynesian economics. And it's just wrong. I mean, literally, like, a 10-year-old kid that runs a lemonade stand knows more about economics in a brute force, real world way than someone with a PhD in Keynesian economics. And so there's people who are experts in things that are wrong. And then there are people who are experts in one thing and think that makes them experts in everything. It's really common in the sciences too. Like, you know, somebody who's, you know, like an expert in one kind of, you know, like dinosaur theory or internal combustion engine or something, like, you know, those people think that they know how to run the world, for instance, or they think that their opinions are more valuable on everything than someone who doesn't have a PhD. And it's not true.
Well, even take Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is a biologist, but now he's swanning about the place as if he's a philosopher and a theologian and all the rest of it.
An atheist, you know, so theologian.
Same thing.
Well, there are atheist theologians too. I mean, I would say Stefan Molyneux is an atheist theologian. What do you think?
Explain.
Why was this beautiful moment sullied with that?
I'm sorry. We should keep that. Yeah, you're right. You haven't read the first rule of Fiend Club, which is you can shift into bashing anybody at any time, but we'll get there.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Is not all it's cracked up to be. Because people like stupid stuff. People like voting for Nazis and listening to Coldplay. Doesn't mean they should choose everyone to do that.
That is true.
Nazi Germany was a democracy. Hitler was democratically elected. Dan, tell me about the aliens.
what about the aliens? Actually, one of the things we were talking about was, like before when we were talking about things to talk about in the show, was apparently NASA, and remember, bear in mind before I say this, NASA owns space, so they're always right.
Do they?
They do.
How they own space? Apparently we're... Because of the flag on the moon?
They clearly own space. Exactly. You put a flag somewhere, that makes it yours. They claim that we're going to have a near miss with an asteroid on Halloween. And a near miss to them is, I mean, it is a near miss in terms of asteroids in the Earth, but it's pretty close. But it sort of made me think about, like, what would happen if we knew, say even we had like 6 months, and we knew that we were going to get wiped out by an asteroid, like, what would happen?
I don't think governments would become cool.
I don't think so. I don't think anything
can make governments become cool. I think it'd be like in Treme when the storm's coming and that kid gets pulled over, black kid gets pulled over for like running a red light, and the cop's like, sorry, you have a warrant. And the kid's like, no, I paid that warrant. It's a computer glitch. And it was. And he's like, I don't care. I got to take, you know, it's like the Stormy the Death Dealer is coming, the worst storm ever. And they're like, nope, got to put you in jail. And he ends up dying in jail because of the hurricane, because of mismanagement in the prisons. That's what would happen.
You think so? I mean, I think it would probably divide into, you know, certain types of people. I mean, you would get some people who would just think, well, I'm just going to do whatever I like now because who cares? I'm going to be dead anyway.
Well, I think a lot of cops wouldn't report for work. They'd just stay home and protect their family against looting, which would probably make the world a better place.
But then what would be the point in that? Like, if you're going to die anyway, what would be the point in looting and getting all this material stuff that's just going to go away in a few months? I mean, wouldn't seem like there'd be any point.
I'm pretty sure the governments would still be propping themselves up by schemes of how to stop the asteroid. Because people would expect them to, because every movie where there's a black president, that happens. Because you know it's the future because there's a black president and they stop the meteor.
That, you know, that's the thing. I mean, like, I'd go for the place where I'd be like, why bother stopping it? Why bother even trying to stop it? I mean, let's just embrace it, you know.
I'd be
that weird guy in every film that's like standing on a mountaintop going, yeah, like that guy.
He's played by Woody Harrelson in one of my favorite movies, and he does it in Wyoming too. He dies in Wyoming. You know the movie?
Yeah, well, what film is that again?
Cusack. Do you know, Angela?
He's a...
Oh, this sounds great.
Well, L.A. gets destroyed first.
That's sad.
Yeah, I don't... Nobody there has a soul except you.
He does a... Do you remember that film? He does like a weird conspiracy radio show from an RV.
Dude, he looks like me. He looks like a younger me in that. That is me. Yeah, it's kind of crossing Alex Jones and Art Bell, but it's from an RV. God, I'm gonna find the name of that movie. Yeah,
it's not. I get confused with disaster films because a lot of them seem kind of the same to me. So, is it not 2012? It is. It's 2012.
Yeah, that's
the one. Yeah. Yeah. So, I'd be that guy, because what's the point in accumulating all this stuff that's just going to disappear anyway? But I have that attitude towards life now anyway, so nothing would really change with me, to be honest.
Well, then there's the scene in Independence Day where the UFO lovers in LA are trying to, they're on the library tower and on the top of it, and they're trying to welcome the UFOs, and there's the pretty girl with the sign that says, "Welcome, UFOs," and they just like incinerate her with a beam.
But the aliens are going to be on our side if there is an alien invasion. I know we've kind of gone from meteor to alien invasion quite quickly, but
Angela doesn't really know the whole theology of the Freedom Fiends. So basically, I'm pretty close to an agnostic, except I'm a deist, except I have a higher power theory, and I think it's as likely as the second coming by Christ or anything else anyone else has got, anyone currently. So, and I don't need followers in this. I don't need people to even believe me. I 1/4 believe myself. And that's enough. So, scientists say that the nearest possibly habitable planet is 4.3 light years away in the Alpha Centauri region. That means that it takes radio waves 4.3 years to get there. We've been on the radio for 2 years. Two and a third year. So in 2 more years, our brilliant voices are going to get to those aliens. They're going to say, we've been listening to this planet for 100 years, and this is the first intelligent life we've heard. And they're going to send us their state-blocking technology.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Greatest Generation, my butt. Tell us, Dan. Tell us about it. What's up, Dan?
Well, no, it made me think, we're talking about this whole asteroid thing and like talking about like looting and things like that. Maybe think about, I mean, when I was young and stuff like that, I always get told about like all the blackouts and things, and you know, it's sort of when during World War II, when you know, like the UK was getting bombed, and people would talk about, oh, there was a great spirit and everyone clubbed together and helped each other. But people, you know, kind of casually miss out the fact that this was like Christmas for like criminals all over the UK. I mean, because like in 1939, a lot of prison inmates with like less than 3 months were all released, you know, and young men who were in Borstals who'd served like 6 months, they were all released. And you had this sort of weakened police force as well, because, you know, you had a lot of the young men and stuff were away fighting and things like that.
Were they released to be soldiers or just released so the state did not take care of them?
Just released so the state didn't have to take care of them, basically. And this gave way to like, you know, it gave way to massive amounts of crime. You know, like, I mean, there was, for example, there was a gangster called Billy Hill who, I mean, he made a fortune out of this. And some of the things were just, like, for example, there was these things called ARP wardens who were basically air raid sort of protection wardens. And there was even stuff like you'd get these guys who would dress up as them, put on an armband and a helmet. When no one was looking, they would smash a shop window, pull up a van. They would get people around them and they would say, oh, we have to take these items for safekeeping. Would you help us load this van? People would load the van for them and then they'd be off with all the stuff. It was like that simple. And
there's also a lot of rape of European women by Allied soldiers who were supposedly liberating those countries, which is not talked about very much. And it's kind of a dark secret of most wars, but especially, you know, there's a lot of it in World War II. Americans and British soldiers were doing a lot of it.
The thing is as well, I mean, these kind of things, they, I mean, like, if you're living under rationing and things like that, then ordinary people who would never have considered themselves to be criminals would get in on it. Actually, one of my favorite stories that I was reading through this, there was this guy, and like, so you, if your house get bombed out, you get paid £500 from the government, and you also got like, you would get like compensation for clothes and furniture that was ruined. There was this guy, Walter Hardy, and he claimed his house was bombed out 19 times in 5 months.
Wow.
And he was eventually jailed. It's not like he had a big sign on his roof saying, please bomb my house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's always abuses of government programs like that. And, you know, some people would argue it's not abuse because the government didn't earn it. But I would kind of, I don't know, it irks me, you know, when it's like happening in New Orleans a lot. You know, people came in from out of town who weren't even in New Orleans when the flooding happened and filed for, you know, benefits for things being ruined.
I mean, you can understand it in a way. I mean, one of the other things as well is you get people that would run into bombed out buildings pretending they were going to help, and then they would go and take everything that wasn't, you know, reduced to rubble and just run off with it.
Yeah.
But in a way you could sort of understand. I mean, like, you know, I suppose you're under that kind of pressure. Living under rationing must have been horrendous. But like, I wish people would be a bit more honest about it.
You know what, you ever heard the term barricade rabbit?
No, that's a new one.
It was a World War II term for eating a cat.
Oh, man.
Ugh. Wouldn't surprise me, though. You know, but...
Angela, did that hit a nerve? Do you have a cat, Angela?
Oh.
Do you have pets?
That's... No, there's no, 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 no. There's nothing in my space that's living beside me.
You say that almost like you're proud of that fact. Do you just consider animals to be like, are animals parasites? They're like the welfare queens.
If it doesn't pay rent, it can't be part of this household.
Wow. You sound like a non-liberal living in California. That's what that sounds like to me.
I've never been in a situation though so desperate where I felt like eating a cat.
Yep. Barricade rabbit. Well, that was World War II, man. And barricades are acts of war.
Well, as well, everyone was in on that. I mean, you were talking about, you know, like, healthcare before. There was people who would pay doctors to pronounce them unfit to serve in the military, you know, and then the doctors would take a bit for that. That's what I would probably do.
It's about the only fraud I could consider legit. I don't know, but...
But that's the thing. I mean, also, like, I mean, I'm not against prostitution or anything like that. I think people could do what they want. But during blackouts and that, prostitution was rife as well. I mean, and you can see why, because, I mean, the blackouts were, like, completely pitch black outside. I mean, if you're a thief or anything like that, you'd be like, this is amazing, man. I can do what
this
I like.
This is amazing.
If you were a thief, like, but... That's what you would think. There was even people that like used to have sort of things like they'd have basically what looked like ambulances, and they'd be driving about, but they'd be basically stealing things under the guise that they were driving ambulances. You know, it's like there's almost no end to all the scams that got pulled off around about this time, and you don't hear about it that much, especially not when you see, well, maybe it's just me, but I never heard about much about it, especially when you see commemorations and that. It's all this stuff about, oh, how we all pulled together and all this kind of thing. But, you know, it's like people kind of, they have this fantasy that because something happened long ago, there was no downside to it. Do you know what I mean?
Government puts a downside.
How do you feel about war generally?
Yeah, yeah. How do you remember the big one there, Angela?
Oh, it was such a great war. What a fantastic war. What an amazing war. My God, if we could just have one of those every 4 years, imagine how great our economy would be.
And that is one of the lies they tell you. They tell you the lie that that war is good for the economy. It's temporarily... gives a bubble, but we're still paying for World War II. That's why we're in a recession now. So,
in more ways than one.
People don't mention either, like, you know, there was the Dresden firebombing. That doesn't get brought up that much, you know, and that was the British and the Americans. There was no real military targets in Dresden. It was a war crime. I mean, all wars are crime, yes. Basically, but that was really severe, and that doesn't get brought up a lot.
Yeah, governments take anything.
Because the U.S. doesn't...
Go ahead. Angela, go ahead.
The U.S. doesn't commit war crimes. The United States never commits war crimes.
Why?
Why? I mean, it's the United States. They don't do that. That's what other countries do.
Well, you know, the United States is really tentative in their backing of the World Court in The Hague because they don't want Americans to get pulled into it. And there's a lot of reasons how a lot of them could be. Although that thing's never prosecuted.
For like, for what? For like bombing a hospital?
Yeah, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Like bombing, you think that's a problem? Bombing a hospital? I don't know.
I do.
I'm sure they deserved it.
Ugh. And you know, I've heard this saying, I've heard it from soldiers a few times. Like I talked to a soldier one time right after that collateral murder video came out from WikiLeaks, you know, that showed helicopter footage of them machine gunning, you know, journalists. In non-combat journalists, and then the van pulling up and the kids getting killed, and the soldier I know, you know, saw it, and his reaction was just, "Oh, that guy shouldn't have been driving in a war zone." You know, the guy with the van and the kids, and I'm like, "No, he lived there. The war zone came to him. That was his neighborhood." And he's like, "I don't care. He shouldn't have come to war zone." And I've actually heard that exact phrase from a few different people and read it. I think it's something they teach soldiers, like the way they teach school kids, oh, without the government, we wouldn't have roads, you know? I think it's one of those. Have you heard that response, Angela?
I've heard, you know, there's I guess it was Robert Gibbs, one of Obama's many press spokes jerks. Okay, I think Robert Gibbs is the one who said Alawaki's son, you know, basically shouldn't have had him as a father if he didn't want to be droned to death at 16.
If Obama had a kid, he'd look like that kid too. If he had a son.
Well, I mean, I can't believe Obama can say things like that with a straight face, but he does all the time because he clearly is so, I mean, so glib, and so. And it's incomprehensible to me how he. I mean, he just speaks to Americans as if they're silly little children. I mean, his attitude's clear. Not that any of the other great heroes that ran against him would be any better, but it's really hard. It's a horrible, sick mentality. But it's an American mentality. We're the best. We're number one. We're terrific. We don't commit war crimes ever. Even when we commit war crimes, because the hospital asked us to. And if not, the hospital shouldn't have been there. And why were those Doctors Without Borders there anyway? That sounds communist to me. Doctors Without Borders? What does that mean? Like they practice medicine wherever it's needed?
Yeah.
Instead of in their own countries, like a good patriot?
Well, then there's Gregory House, who's a member of Doctors Without Boundaries, but that's a different thing. So, governments ruin anything that's good. And I liked it. We finally got Angela. We got her to talk as her. What do you think of that, Angela?
I'm looking for Heather.
Yeah.
Come back.
You know, if we go 6 seconds without talking, literally alarms go off at GCN because we're that important. So we got to keep talking. It doesn't have to be good.
The fiend phone beeped at me.
No, I don't think it did, man.
That just could be outside. It could be my alleyway.
It's the alleyway. Yep. So, Dan, I want to talk about this DNA thing real quick. There's this DNA... like private DNA site that will tell you where your ancestors were from so you can know who to have pride in for things you didn't accomplish. It's called 23andMe. It's called 23andMe. But I actually thought about doing this because I want to know if I'm Jewish. Because my daughter, my late daughter, who died of leukemia, had testing for bone marrow transplant and... when they do that now, they can tell like where your ancestors are from. And they told her that her ancestors were Jewish. No one in my family that I know of is Jewish. And my daughter's mother is not my wife. It was a different woman from before. She was adopted. So we assume that it was her. But I kind of have the Jewish nose more than she did. So, and my daughter had it. So I wanted to do this just to find out. But I'm never going to do this now because they're... like, police are asking for this private database. Are they getting it? That's the question, Dan.
Well, apparently so. It's not just 23andMe, it's Ancestry.com as well. Basically, the police are asking for them for samples of DNA related to crimes. Ugh. Not safe anywhere.
For now, they're just asking for particular ones or for bulk?
Particular just now.
Yeah, it'll be bulk. So they're worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Myself, Michael Libby-Dean. Take it away, Dan.
Well, yeah, we were talking a bit before the break about how 23andMe and Ancestry.com will pass on your DNA to the police.
Thanks,
and
guys.
Thank you. It kind of got me looking into the UK, believe it or not, has got one of the largest DNA databases in the world. And see the things that will get you on this database? They're ridiculous, like... begging will get you on it. being drunk and disorderly, taking part in an illegal demonstration. You know, like, all these things will have your DNA kept pretty much, as far as I understand it, indefinitely on this national database they've got.
It all and goes down even, on your permanent record.
That's what it's like. There's even innocent people, even from the age of 10 upwards, who've like been arrested and then never charged. It's been proven someone else did the crime, but they've retained their DNA data, which is just, I mean,
well, they also get like for kids now, don't they? Don't they like try to get parents to allow their school kids to get registered so they can, you know, identify their remains after they get sex raped and killed or something?
Oh man, that's just, I mean, there was actually talk in this country a while ago of expanding the database to have every single person on it.
Yeah.
In the UK, but thankfully there's been some resistance to that. You know, it's like, welcome to the UK, now let me take a swab. Do you know, it's scary. And some people think that it's going to be like, oh, well, it stops crime. I mean, you can't say there wouldn't be corrupt police that could use your DNA to pin something on you that's nothing to do with you.
There was an episode of CSI that I looked up, and the science is solid behind it. There's actually a DNA laboratory in Israel published a paper on proving that this could be done, of taking like having someone's DNA from the database or a small tiny sample of someone's DNA and multiplying it to the point where they could produce like a quart of someone else's blood that has your DNA in it and leave it at a crime scene. And another thing that's probably a lot, I mean, that would require a lot of science. There's something that probably doesn't, which I think we're not far away from. And if we are far away from, if it hasn't happened, we're not far away from 3D printed fingerprints. There was a recent breach of some government database of, you know, 5 million sets of Americans' fingerprints. I don't even know if they were criminal or not. It might have been, you know, for employment or something. But how hard would it be to take those fingerprints and 3D print, you know, little tablets, little fingerprint size ones, and put them on a glove so you could wear a rubber glove and actually leave someone else's prints at a crime scene? And then, you know, there's other things like they say, well, we need to have systems that put a serial number in the brass of every bullet or every bullet. You know, what would stop someone from going to a shooting range and picking up your brass and then murdering somebody with the same caliber bullet and throwing down, you know, your brass at the crime scene? None of that's going to help. And I think it's going to get to the point where it can hurt. What say you, Angela?
I'm just horrified that you gave everyone this great idea now about using fingerprints.
Yeah, I was watching that show. Yeah, because it wasn't like, that wasn't the article. That was like one of the comments in the article. And I saw the Young Turks, you know, that liberal YouTube channel that's really popular. And they were talking about this kid, this teenager, that put this video on YouTube that's had a few million views. It's basically like a $500 radio-controlled quadricopter drone that you can buy at any hobby store with a Glock pistol on it and firing accurately close up. You know, like he weaponized a drone anybody can buy anywhere. And the people in the Young Turks were like saying, this is horrible, and there's no law against this existing, and there should be. I mean, and what about the kid that wants to shoot up his school, but he's too nervous to do it himself, so he builds one of these? And I was like, thanks for giving that kid the idea, you know? it had not crossed my mind, but there you go. Thanks, Young Turks and the Freedom Fiends. Don't shoot people. I would say don't shoot the wrong people, but that's going to get my door kicked in, so I'll just say don't shoot people. Certainly don't.
You did just say that.
Don't shoot random strangers. It's bad. Freedom Fiends, we'll be back tomorrow for more If We're Not Droned. Thanks, Angela. Thanks, Dan. It's been a good show.
Thank you, guys.
Warm.
It's fun.
Keep up your... thank you for your service, Angela.
I do what I can.
You should thank Heather as well.
Yes, Heather. What's her last name?
Thank you, Heather.
Heather Moreland.
Yeah, what the hell was that? That was great.
Heather Moreland. It's an actual place. Heather Moreland. Worms.